From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. We took a little bit of a break on the podcast here for the holiday season, and I want to wish everybody a happy new year. I hope your 2018 is going great so far. I am really excited that our first podcast here for the new year is an interview I conducted a few months ago with artist Mina Chun, who is based in Baltimore, New York, and Seoul, and who does a lot of awesome, really interesting work related to North Korea. She calls it polypop art, mixing political messages with art and talking about the North Korea situation, as well as some other themes that we'll also get into in the interview. But without further ado, I want to get into the interview. I want you to hear from Mina herself, how she talks about some of her recent projects. So please enjoy and look forward to a lot of great new content here in 2018. Mina, thank you so much for agreeing to this interview. I'm really excited to talk a little bit about some of your fascinating work. Could you start off by introducing yourself and the work that you've been doing?
Yes. My name is Mina Chun. My Korean name is Chun Min Jung, and I am what people call me as a Korean-American global new media conceptual artist who supposedly paints a lot. I'm also currently a full-time professor, faculty member at the Maryland Institute College of Art, also known as MICA, and I live between Baltimore, New York, and Seoul, South Korea.
Fantastic. So I am really fascinated by your work, and I noticed that in reading about you that you use this term polypop, which is a term I've never heard of before. Can you explain what that means in the context of your work related to North Korea?
Sure. My solo exhibition, that was my mid-career exhibition in 2012, that was at the Seongguk Art Museum in Seoul, Korea. And part of that exhibition came to the Maryland Art Place, which is the Contemporary Art Center in Baltimore, was titled Polypop, short for political pop art. And it was because I was showing, decades of my work that dealt with political concerns spun around in evocative ways and displayed as pop artwork, which makes it very much more accessible and easy to like by the mass audience. The kind of work that is known for political pop-up comes from contemporary Chinese art and avant-garde artists to Chinese contemporary artists like Wang Guanggui would use imagery of capitalism and communism intersecting in very sort of heightened pop art style, yet addressing political shifts of China. And I use that language because since 2004, I've been working on North Korea awareness projects. And it's such a difficult topic and subject to handle, but by producing artwork that is pop art, very kitsch and using popular culture and imagery, people tend to be able to access it easier, and they like what they see because it's very colorful and bold, and it allows people to instigate the art a little bit more deeper. And by doing that, they are able to access the meaning behind the work, which comes with the awareness about learning about North Koreans and the citizens and what it means to humanize North Koreans. So I use political pop or the pop art expression as a way to engage the public. But now the work has evolved to a kind of political pop abstraction and surrealism. So different types of artistic styles are incorporated, but mostly the work that I'm producing today is known as art activism. And artists are doing a lot of work related to social justice. So it is social justice work, it is awareness, global peace project artwork, but sort of shown in very fun. And some people don't like it when I use the word fun. Provocative or evocative is supposedly the better way of saying it, but in a way that makes popular culture familiar and accessible. I use that same language to get the attraction from people, from the audience that tend to like my work.
One thing I thought was really interesting when I was reading up about you is that you assume different personas through your art, including a North Korean woman named Kim Il-sun. So can you explain a little bit about how you created her and how you use this persona in your artwork?
Yes, I think by the time you're using the internet and you have multiple screen names, and we also know with, you know, millennials or even post-millennial generation, people have and look towards finding identity through fluidity. And it is quite common also in art that different projects call for artists to take on different art personas in order to pursue their project more intentively. And even in just popular culture, with celebrities, you see singers take on different names for different albums. I think Beyonce was Sasha in 2003, and that was like her fire coming out at that time. So over a long period of time, I've had different types of art personas and different names that I go by. And I think that also comes from the fact that I have a Korean name, Chun Min-jung, but I was living in Denmark at a certain period of time and no one could pronounce my name. So I had to kind of readdress my name as Mina, something a little easier. It went from Minnie to, you know, Min to Mina and so forth. So it's very common to kind of recall yourself in various forms. But as I was working on looking at North Korea and South Korea, especially the relationship between North, South Koreas and the United States, and that's sort of as I've, you know, come to the United States as a graduate student from Korea, I was able to really look at, you know, and ask the question, how should the artist be performing in today's world? And because I'm a Korean artist and the country is split, so should the artist identities. So I am active as a South Korean new media artist who creates, you know, very large diamond sculptures to talk about and critique capitalism of, you know, South Korea that have gone modern overnight. And as a North Korean Kim Il-sun, I am performing this imagined world of what it is like to be a North Korean. Mostly because we don't have access to North Koreans, but a lot of Koreans around the world do have direct ties or family relations to North Koreans. And there are a lot of Koreans who don't feel that they are different from North Koreans as well. So I believe that the diaspora of Koreans includes this kind of transgenerational burden of being both South Korean, North Korean, and just, you know, Korean, United Korea. And because of that, one of the first sort of political pop art that I started to create was to talk about the North and South Korean conflict through girls' playthings. So it was taking North Korean imagery of the military fembots and making small dolls of them in a uniform manner, in their kind of military style. And they were all, of course, named Miss Kim. And South Korean paper dolls that were produced in the 60s and 70s, especially in the 70s when I grew up, cutting these paper dolls and seeing Western beauty in print form, where all the paper dolls that you would cut out and have these, you know, playful kind of fantasies growing up as a South Korean girl, they were all Western and Western beauty. They were blonde hair girls with large, big Caucasian, you know, like blue eyes. And so the imagery of what is considered beautiful and the presentation of what is beautiful between South and North Korea was so, it had such stark contrast that that was an exhibition that I put together from 2004, and then later on in Baltimore, an exhibition called Addressing Dolls, showing the North Korean military fembots next to all these beautiful life-size paper doll dresses from the South. And Miss Kim, who also is, you know, talking about my own daughter, who the work was dedicated to my daughter, who's Korean-American, but inherits part of what is Korea. My mother, whose last name is Kim, and she's from the North and came down to the South at the brink of war. So to carry that identity through, by 2013, Kim Il-sun became a full-fledged performing artist. She appeared in New York in her military regalia, performed in the streets with New Yorkers and hung out with them, and attended the Pulse Art Fair with her social realist paintings. And so Kim Il-sun performed and was in the Western world and raised a lot of questions by American audience as to who is this North Korean, you know, dressed in the military outfit, walking around the streets of New York. And also that she was painting social realist paintings that included the strict propaganda style of North Korea, but with certain twists, certain, you know, satire and irony that we could kind of question, you know, what is the imagery that is coming out of North Korea and how do we interface with that? But because the Korean women tend to have this huge superwoman complex of being not just a worker for the state or a mother, mm-hmm. Kim Il-sun is all of those things. She is a naval commander, a farmer, she's a social realist painter, she's a professor, she is a mother of two, she's married to the state, and most importantly, she's a human being. And over time, Kim Il-sun has been creating artwork that advocated for a way of understanding and learning about North Korea, North Korean people through the work that she was creating. So she is a cosmopolitan artist, but yet North Korean and South Korean. And recent works include her Dream State paintings, which includes abstraction, because in North Korea, you can't really, you're always painting the propaganda style and it's social realism. In her dream, she's able to paint swaths of hot pink abstraction and drip paintings and Yves Klein blue dip paintings and signal unification in her work. And it's only possible in her dreams. And it is through her dreams that she is thinking about unification and understanding that unification is a minute away. It's happening at the same time that we see sort of global conflicts, that it is very close to us and not so far. Yeah.
So I'm really curious, when she was performing in New York, what was the reaction? Did they interact with her?
They did. Kim Il-sun was speaking in North Korean, and she was talking to the American audience in English too, in, you know, the way North Koreans would have a thick accent speaking in English. And the kind of responses was varied. It really showed the kind of climate of people's response to North Korea just by the interface, like from intrigue, you know, to exoticization. Everybody wanted to take a photo with Kim Il-sun, pose with her. She was an object of desire and curiosity. All of those things that even today, the way that North Korea is portrayed, you know, comes with that perspective. It's a very distant perspective.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm sure our listeners, our longtime listeners know that's actually really closely related to the work that I have been doing, which is investigating particularly how the mass media cover North Korea, what images they're using, and how North Korea is being portrayed to the American public, which I think is very often one note, very threatening, and can give the American public a very specific view of how they should see North Korea. And North Korean people and citizens are often not part of that portrayal. So I'm really interested to hear that you had a similar experience through your artwork.
Yeah, I'm so actually honored and happy to be meeting you and being part of Korean Context as a program, because I've been listening to Korean Context for a couple of years now. And I have to say that my solo exhibition in New York at the Ethan Coen Gallery called Omma, which means mommy in Korean, Omma Mass Games, Motherly Love North Korea, opened on October 20th. And that was the same day that your program aired. It was a program called The Revolution Will Be Thumb-Drived. And Ned Cretchen was your guest on coming from Open Technology Fund. And when I heard that, and it was the opening of my exhibition that actually showcases and very much highlights my artwork that is being sent through thumb drives, I absolutely wanted to make sure that I get this conversation. And I asked the gallery, I was like, can you please help me connect with Korean Context? How come we're having siloed conversations here mm-hmm. when it's about the same thing? Mm-hmm. And what I learned, because it's a very tricky situation where I am using what is existing media flow into North Korea. I'm using what has been happening over time. I did a whole big exhibition called Chocopi Propaganda and got sponsorship from Orion, the Chocopi company, and had 10,000 Chocopis at the Ethan Coen Gallery so that Americans could understand what Chocopi is and meant and how significant it is, and also to taste Chocopi and understand the desire of North Koreans and why it was such a smuggled good. But at the same time, to use the word like smuggling art into North Korea became very problematic for me, because I wanted to emphasize how it was about sending our love, our strength, our communication. But because the project was a three-way collaboration, we had Ethan Coen, who is the gallerist, who has been supporting my artwork about North Korea from the beginning. And he was in North Korea when he was 10 years old. So he has this remarkable history of having visited as probably the youngest child after the Korean War with his family. And he recalls everything with great detail about his trip. And then the curator, international curator named Nadim Saman, who also has just always been working in such innovative ways of helping artists kind of bring out the major issues or themes with an artwork through the exhibition. And his interest in North Korea was very sharp. It was very critical and important. And he understood what it meant for all this information going into North Korea. And between the three of us, we're like, well, is it smuggling? Is it sending? Is it invading? Is culture invading North Korea? You know, is it infiltrating? We've used so many different terms to kind of define what we're doing. And when I heard Ned Cretchen talk about it being called as information penetration, I knew that was exactly what we were doing. This existing information or media penetration is the medium that we are using to help promote communication with North Korea. And in particular, what I did was because Kim Il-sung has the Omma, mommy persona, as well as the professor persona, and I've been teaching art for like almost 20 years, and art history lessons is like something that I, you know, on a regular basis give to all my students. I have been able to produced distinctive 10 art history lessons that get sent into North Korea through this media penetration method. And I've heard that they are received and they're being watched. They're being disseminated, circulated, and copied. And amongst the people who are helping to get it over there, so a lot of them are obviously defectors, and I'm sure you know about these organizations that have been working very hard to send media to North Korea. They too are watching these videos and thinking that they're learning a lot about art, Western art, contemporary art, something that they always felt that they had no access to or understanding. So part of the program to send this kind of loving episodes of art history, and they are like children shows with animations and so forth, you know, dealing with very important themes of art and the environment or feminism and social justice. We're sharing information that most of the world has access to, and we're helping a different kind of education. You know, exposure to contemporary art.
All right. This has been a really fascinating conversation. I am not super familiar with art, and I don't get the chance to talk about North Korea in a non-policy manner very often, being down in D.C. So I'm glad to be able to have this conversation and learn more. Is there anything else that you would like to say, or do you have any closing thoughts?
I had written a statement that talked about the USB drives going into North Korea that I've been sending. And I think the statement, part of the statement, is quite adequate to my feelings on what I think of North Korea today. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read a little blurb. My dedication to sharing art with North Koreans equals my dedication for humanizing North Koreans in the eyes of the world. For most Koreans, whether in the North or the South, we are one. We dream of unification. With this project, we advocate that North Korean lives matter. And we plead, please do not destroy North Korea for the sake of global peace.
Well, we will definitely end it right there. So, Mina, thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to following you and your future projects.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. As always, please remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you're getting your podcasts, and give us a like on Facebook and Twitter as well. We're Korea Econ Inst. Thanks again, and we'll see you here again next week.